Welcome to the Mindfully Masculine Podcast. This is Charles. Okay, in this episode, we will continue our review and discussion of Self-Care for Men by Garrett Muntz. And this week's topic is hair, the hair on your head and the hair below your belt, and what to do if you have less hair than you want in some places and more hair than you would like in others. Please follow or subscribe to our podcast on your chosen podcast app. Just look for Mindfully Masculine, and you can also check out our full episodes with video on YouTube. Thanks and enjoy.
Good morning, Charles. How are you?
Hey, Dan. I'm well, thank you. Welcome back.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, we haven't recorded one of these in a long time. You were in New Jersey for, what, 10, 12 days, something like that?
Yeah, it was almost 2 weeks. Yeah.
How's New Jersey?
Jersey was warmer than expected. Had a little, warm spell, which was nice. Got to see a lot of family and a few friends and spend some time over Easter break in New York. Got to eat some chocolate babka and, had the girlfriend fly up and meet the family for the first time. And that went really well, surprisingly. Yeah. Not really surprisingly.
Because your family's awful, your girlfriend's awful.
Pretty much, yeah. And I'm awful. Between the three of us, yeah. No, it worked out really well. I was even better than I had hoped, actually.
That's good.
It reassured me when I made some good decisions this time.
Yeah, nobody's...
I like the last one better.
No, dude, that happened. Listen, not with this one, but it did happen to me. Yeah, previously, when I went to take a girlfriend to Germany, she said it, and my grandmother said it, in front of her at the table, and the other girl had just walked in. Like the one she was talking, like, oh, you should have been, why didn't you ever date this girl? And yeah, it was a neighbor that I had grown up with. And yeah, it was awkward. Oh. And she didn't speak German, but she knew what was going on. I could feel the heat. It was bad. It was bad.
There was a guy that I went to church with who sometimes go into Bible college, fairly local to where I grew up and where I went to church. When you meet a new girl, one of the things you do is take her to church with you.
Oh.
And there was a guy in my church who loved saying, boy, she's a lot prettier than the girl you had here last week. And he's a sweet old guy, but he thought the girls always thought it was funny. It was like, I hear this every time I bring a girl, some of whom are just my friends.
Yeah.
In church with me, this guy wants to use that joke every time.
And hey,
that was fun.
One trick pony. Whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I can relate now.
Yeah.
The older I get, the more I repeat my jokes.
And you were also in New York.
Yeah, I was in New York briefly. I am done with flying Frontier or Spirit in or out of LaGuardia.
Why?
Because they share, at least I think Frontier is changing to a good terminal, but right now they're in the worst, Terminal A is like the worst terminal, and it's a small terminal where it's just for Frontier and Spirit, and just the lining up and getting through security is a nightmare. And yeah, it's just, I won't do it again. And I probably won't do Spirit ever again because I believe Spirit is getting that terminal to themselves and Frontier is moving to the new nice terminal.
Okay.
And yeah, it was just standing there, not knowing if you're in the right line.
Oh.
Not having signs, not having employees making announcements. It's, yeah.
So we ran into that with Spirit on the way to, no, it was Frontier, went to DC a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
It was beginning of spring break and it was a 5 a.m. flight. Figured no problem, get there at 3. Uh-uh. Same thing. Not sure if we're in the right line. We ended up missing the flight because we didn't check in an hour. We couldn't check our bags an hour before. We missed it by 8 minutes.
Oh, boy.
And then they sat us in a different line to talk to a manager. And we sat in that line for 3 hours, waiting for another flight to get rebooked on.
Yeah.
Turns out the person we talked to wasn't a manager, so they were going to charge us because the flight that we bought. So they're going to charge us to change the flight. We ended up talking to the manager. They changed us sheet, but we had to wait another hour after that to actually talk to the manager. So it was,
yeah. Those value carriers. Sometimes.
You're paying one way or another.
Yeah, what you pay for. Yeah, that was a little frustrating on the flight home. I was like, yeah, this is bad enough that I'm not going to do it again. So if I have to pay double my $80 round trip to fly a JetBlue or something, I'll do that.
Yeah, or look at Delta. Like, Delta had some really cheap flights, too. That we ended up taking a Delta flight home, and instead of Spirit or whatever. Yeah, and they were in the ballpark.
Okay.
So it wasn't twice as much.
I don't think I told you. I'm going to this, not this weekend, that starts tomorrow, or I guess today. Next weekend, I'm doing another trip, going to Nebraska. for the Omaha Zoo, which is
okay,
one of the best in the country.
Nice.
So I got a great deal on a round trip ticket. I'm flying Allegiant out of Sanford.
Okay.
Which I love flying in and out of Sanford and Daytona is a dream because just nobody uses those airports.
Yeah.
So you get through security super fast. Parking's cheap. Everything.
Nice.
Yeah. So I'm going to go to Omaha, Nebraska for 3 days to check out their zoo.
For a little monkey business?
I don't know what sort of primates they have, but monkey business is always on the agenda. I love going to a new city and seeing what their food is and what's the traditional dish that they're known for. And I'll probably see if I can go on a food tour and stuff like
that. I would love to do a food tour in Nebraska.
I know they're known for steak. That's a big thing. They're known
for Omaha steak. Sure. Yeah.
I'm probably going to do a steak dinner a couple nights while I'm in town. The zoo is supposed to be great. I went to the Bronx Zoo when I was in New York this last time.
Oh, great.
Never been before.
Okay.
And it's up there. It's pretty good. It's not Cincinnati. Cincinnati is probably my favorite zoo so far. But Bronx is up there. Put it above Philadelphia, below Cincinnati, below Chicago. But it's good.
Sanford Zoo. Come on. Where's that go? The Central Florida? Come on. Not so much. Not even on the same? No. Not even in the same ballpark?
If you're pursuing zoo-like conditions in Central Florida, you go to Disney's Animal Kingdom. It is.
Gotcha.
It's head and shoulders above any.
I thought you were just going to say Disney.
Well, yeah.
Zoo-like conditions.
Animal Kingdom.
Yeah.
Really great. The thing I love about them is there's hardly any fences at Animal Kingdom.
Oh, that's cool.
Because they do the thing where they basically dig a trench, a giant trench. They
put
a fence under the trench, and then they fill it in with water. So you don't see visually, rarely see any fences. They use moats with fences that are buried.
Interesting.
And that's what keeps the animals all in their spaces. Yeah. They went into how they do that on the Disney's Magic of Animal
Kingdom. I didn't know that.
On like Nat Geo.
Oh, cool.
And that's the best experience for the animals and for the customers because you don't have to stare at fences.
But yeah.
You
that's
the animals.
Great.
And so some zoos have stuff like that going on, but for the most part, you're still taking pictures and looking through fences or glass.
Yep.
Where with Disney, they don't do that. And so that's...
Oh, that's cool.
That's really cool. But I'm looking forward to Omaha next week. I'm going to be there for 3 days. And I was in New York. I also checked out... I saw the Harry Potter play on Broadway.
Oh, how was that?
It was good. The story, it just... It's not... Quality-wise, it's not on the level of the books.
Yeah.
Which I could understand they have a limited amount of time and... Apparently, before COVID, it was a two-part thing where you would go to the matinee for part one and then go back at night to see part two.
Oh, interesting.
Since COVID, they combined it into one longer play, which I'm glad about that. I'm glad I didn't have to go because the ticket was $120. So doing that twice is, I don't know if I'm into this enough to.
Oh, they were charging.
Yeah, you had to go to two different plays.
Oh, so it wasn't like one. What? Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't realize two completely. I thought it was just like. Like a long intermission kind of thing.
Oh, no.
Oh.
Part one and part two, and you're paying to go to each one of them. So instead of that, it was like a 2 hour and 50 minute play with an intermission.
Wow.
And I saw the whole story in one sitting.
Okay.
It was good. I liked it. But yeah, just compared to the quality of the writing of the books and the movies, it wasn't quite there.
Got it.
I'm still glad I saw it, but it wasn't. Yeah. I think the other thing, I thought about going to see Book of Mormon. I still haven't seen it.
That was really good. I saw years ago.
I heard it's
very
there were some good deals on tickets while I was
there,
but I was like, I'm already going to one Broadway play. I don't want to go to two. And so next time I go to New York, I'll check out Book of Mormon. But it was a fun trip. It was a fast trip. I stayed at my usual hostel on the Upper West Side, and there was a fire. They had to evacuate the building, which was a little frustrating the way they handled that. The fire alarm starts going off. And I'm like, oh boy, okay, here we go. And I was just about to go jump in the shower when the fire alarm started. It was in the morning. And I was like, okay, I guess I got to just get dressed and go downstairs.
You'll be wet. You'll be fine.
Yeah. Which I worked. But yeah, they never have problems with fires on boats, right? Because there's all that water.
Yeah. There you go.
So then they make an announcement like, it's a false alarm. You can disregard it. I was like, okay, great. I start getting undressed to go take the shower. And then not a minute later, they're like, disregard the last announcement. Everybody needs to evacuate. It's okay. This is not run the way that I wish it was being run.
And
so I end up just getting dressed and going to the Dunkin' Donuts across the street. And then all the fire trucks show up. And I at one point I did pop my head out the door and something was definitely burning.
Oof.
Before they made the false alarm announcement, I could smell something burning. Now, I don't know. It could have been somebody microwave popcorn too long, but there was definitely a smell of something burning.
Yeah.
When they made the announcement of, it's a false alarm. I'm thinking, no, it's not. There's something going on here.
Yeah.
And it was a little frustrating. I'm going to try a new hostel next time I go up there. There's one down in Chelsea that actually rents private rooms where you have your own room with a bed in it, little twin size bed, but it's a shared restroom somewhere on the
floor. How much more expensive is that one? Any idea?
Not too much more. I think I paid $65 or $70 a night at the one I usually stay at. And for this one, a private room is like $90 to $100 a night.
Oh, sold.
I just don't know the conditions. I've never, like the one that I stay at is run by Hostels International and they keep it extremely clean. But the smallest room they have is an 8-person room, which, again, the more people in your room, the greater chance there's going to be somebody who doesn't know how to socialize with other humans, either by their undiagnosed sleep apnea, or they come in after the club at 3 o'clock and flip on the overhead light.
Huh?
So those are things I've dealt with. So the smaller the room is, the less chance that guy is going to be in the room with you.
Sure.
And yeah, my favorite hostels are the ones I stay at where it's mixed gender.
Yeah.
Because generally speaking, women care about stuff like that, mm-hmm. where guys don't. And they have four bedrooms.
Okay.
And the other thing is the place I usually stay, their bunks are made out of metal, whether you're on the lower
or... Sure you weren't in prison, dude? It's
nice, but if you're on the top bunk or the bottom bunk, when somebody has to climb up, you hear a lot of creaking and stuff.
Yeah.
Where my favorite hostels that I've stayed at in like Denver and in Chattanooga, Tennessee, their bunks are made out of like big, heavy 2x6s that are bolted together.
Yeah. So.
And so there, you feel nothing, you hear nothing when the person climbs the ladder to get in the upper bunk. And those are great. Yeah. But when they're made out of metal, like metal tubing, it's yes.
Now, when you're booking a hostel, can you choose your bed, bottom, do you got a preference? Or like,
how does that work? Some you can. Some you can ask for the specific bed. Some you just get to pick the room that you're in, which is based on whether it's men only, women only, or mixed gender, and then how many beds are in the room. So you can pick the kind of room that you want. Other hostels, you can say, I want that exact bed. And it's all the even numbered beds are lower bunks and all the odd numbered beds are upper bunks or vice versa, whatever. And so I like that when you can say this is exactly like the one I stay at in DC, which is a capsule hotel. Yeah, there's multiple beds in a room, but every bed you basically close the little shade on and you're in this little area by yourself. And it's big enough where you can get partially dressed or undressed in there. And that one you can say specifically, I want this pod in this room number.
Got it.
And then, yeah, where the one that I stayed at this time, when I usually stay there, in the notes section, I'll say, hey, I would prefer a lower bunk if it's available, but it's not required. Usually they're able to accommodate that. Sometimes they can't, because if somebody's got a legit mobility issue, I would rather they get the lower bunk.
Yeah, sure.
It's more comfortable to be in the lower bunk than the upper bunk.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's where but in Omaha this week, I'm staying in an actual hotel downtown.
Ooh,
shit. I was able to get a good deal on Priceline.
Okay.
And so yeah, I'm staying at like an old classic Omaha hotel called the Monarch or something like that.
Okay.
I forget what it's called, the masterpiece, the majestic, something starts with an M, and I'm staying in downtown Omaha. And again, my main thing is checking out the zoo. I will spend 1 or 2 days at the zoo, depending on how big it is.
Nice. Yeah, it sounds great, dude.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And then I've got a lot of other trips planned this year that we've talked about. How are you feeling about the Tony Robbins thing? You think you're going to go up for that or not?
I'm more likely going to than not.
Excellent. I like that. And I saw Renata this week in New York, and I keep trying to sell her that her and her husband need to go to the Tony Robbins event too.
Yeah. And I was just thinking about it. Even when I don't see something exactly, when I'm reading the itinerary of anything, I always pull something out of it surprisingly, like that surprises me, I should say. So even though some of the concepts he's talked about, I'm like, I really don't need that or want that or whatever, but I'm always going to pick up something, even if it's not from him, just networking with those type of people who
right.
be attending.
Exactly.
I'm going to overhear something that
could
absolutely transform me or motivate me to do what I want to do.
Yeah, just
haven't heard the,
being in the room, doing the exercises, being with other people that think it's worth $600 to take.
And it's not a lot of money for 4 days.
Yeah.
Or 3.5.
I think it's, I think it's 3 or 4.
Yeah.
It's in Newark, which staying in Newark is cheaper for me than staying in the city.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Yeah. And so I think, I'm going to reach out to them and see if I can find out. I don't think they've announced the exact venue. I imagine it's probably a hotel. No, I'm thinking it's probably like an arena. I think
It could be. Oh, you're right.
Big enough crowd. Yeah. That it's probably.
Well, Newark is a fairly new arena there.
Yeah.
So it's pretty nice.
Yeah. So then finding a hotel close walking distance to the arena or close to, I don't know, does New Jersey have a subway system in Newark?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Even if I could just get something that would be easier to travel to. I don't know, but I'm pretty hyped about that. I'm sure we talked about, I didn't get Mount Whitney this year either. So I'm going to try to do Machu Picchu instead. And then I've got Europe in August, Machu Picchu in September, Tony Robbins in November. It's busy.
Yeah.
Busy year.
Yeah. We'll hear more about that in some future episodes, I'm sure.
Yeah, no doubt. Okay. So let's talk about, we're continuing with Self-Care for Men by Garrett Muntz. We're going to combine two chapters, or we're going to try to combine two chapters into one this week, because they're both about hair you wish you had and hair you wish you didn't. We'll start with the idea that you're losing your hair. And we covered this a bit in episode 72 when we were reviewing Atomic Attraction and covering some of the anxiety that the men will experience when they're losing their hair and some of their options for what to do about that. And as we said in that episode, for the most part, your social standing, whether that's in your romantic relationships or your career or whatever, is not impacted by whether or not you're bald or going bald. It's impacted with how you react to your baldness.
And I think how you react to everything.
Yes.
Really, do you own it?
Exactly.
Right? Or is it bothering you? And I think you're going to be teaching people how to treat you
right,
based on your own reaction to yourself. With it. So if you got a couple extra pounds, you're walking around with your shoulders down and you're slouched over and you're hunched over or whatever, versus saying, hey, look, yeah, I'm not perfect. I know I have to lose a couple pounds, but you stand with your shoulders up straight. You're proud of yourself.
Yes.
That's how people are going to treat you, right?
Yeah. And the only reason that I would say that carrying a few extra pounds, which we both do on occasion.
Most of us do these days. We're Americans, right? Yeah.
It may have a little more of a negative impact on you because it's thought of, whether it's true or not, it's thought of to be connected to behavior in a way that going bald is not. If you're carrying a few extra pounds, somebody could look at
point.
You and say, okay, yes, yeah. You're carrying a few extra pounds, as many of us are, but if you were motivated enough, maybe you could do something about that. Again, that may not be true, but that's the perception that most people have when you're carrying some extra weight around your gut.
Fair.
Where I think we, evolutionarily and societally, we understand that you don't go bald because you are lazy, you made some poor lifestyle choices. That's completely out of your control whether or not you lose your hair. And so I think that's part of the reason that men who are bald don't have the deck stacked against them in quite the same way that men who are carrying a few extra pounds do.
Valid points.
And we see every other year, People Magazine's Sexiest Man Alive is a guy who's bald.
Oh, I haven't been keeping up with that. Really?
The Rock and Vin Diesel Jason Statham, they're getting those titles pretty frequently for the rest of us to look at it and say, oh man, I'm bald. I'll never be able to get the woman I want. Right? It just isn't the case. Some of the most bankable box office stars are guys that don't have any hair. And so in those cases, it's definitely about how you're carrying yourself way more than just the fact that you don't have hair. But again, we talk about that in detail on episode 72. So hair loss happens because of things like age, genetics, stress, some medical conditions. And the stress is the one that you can try to manage proactively. But again, it's going to be for the most part out of your control. Do know that the healthier you are, if you're predisposed for baldness, you might be able to drag out the process a little bit more based on how well you eat, how much you abstain from smoking and from alcohol, and how active you are. I think he says in this chapter that excessive exercise can have a negative impact on baldness, but an appropriate amount of exercise can help you stave off hair loss.
Yeah, it's interesting. Think about feeding the hair follicles the nutrients it needs. You need to move. You get that blood pumping through there. Yeah. But then I guess too much exercise can affect your hormone levels at that point, and you are then straining and under perpetual stress.
Right. And I know.
And that's obviously not
good. Yeah. Men and women who have eating disorders, which could include exercise bulimia, where you exercise excessively, their hair thinning and falling out is one of the many health challenges that they have to deal with.
It's not rocket science. Basically, if you're eating a lot less calories and nutrients,
than what your body needs. Your body's going to use it for the things to keep you alive.
Exactly.
You don't need hair to stay alive, right? Your heart needs to pump. Your lungs need to breathe and move. Brain needs to function, right? Yeah. That's where all those calories and nutrients are then going. And so then all the external stuff, your nails, your hair, that's going.
What?
We don't have the juice to keep that going.
Right. So yeah, it's a system that has worked for so long. I wish it was easier where we could just eat as much as we wanted to and look exactly the way we need to without making any efforts. But
the whole effort part is that
that's the thing. Yeah. To look the way that society wants you to look and to look the way that you just feel your best as well. It takes work. It's not going to happen automatically. You can't eat the cheapest, tastiest food for your whole life and expect your body to be in its best possible condition. It just doesn't work that way.
For sure.
Boy, do I wish it did.
Oh, yeah.
Up in New York, man, I had a peanut butter banana cream donut from Donut Plant.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
The Elvis?
Yeah. While I was eating it, I was like, this tastes good, but it doesn't taste good enough for the impact it's having on my diet goals.
That's the thing, right? You know, enjoy it. Your body can handle it, but it's not an everyday thing.
Exactly.
And I think that's our biggest problem is we enjoy it so much. It's, I want to do it again. I want to do it again. Yeah, exactly. I want to do it again. So we fall into our natural human tendency. And before we know it, it's a problem.
I did, as good as that donut sounds, I did get more pleasure out of the best bagel I've ever eaten in my life that I told you about before we started.
Yeah.
It was a plain egg bagel with scallion and bacon cream cheese, and it was the bagel by itself was the best bagel I've ever had.
Yeah.
The cream cheese was the best I ever had, and I put them together, and just walking down a sidewalk in New York on a brisk spring morning eating the best bagel you've ever had in your life, it doesn't get much
still
better.
Warm?
It doesn't get much better than that for me.
All right, I got to get to the brass tacks here is the bacon. Okay, are we talking bacon bits or are we talking real bacon? And was it chewy or was it crispy? Did they do the bacon right?
How did they pull that off? Bacon was
cream cheese.
I would say they were probably bacon pieces.
All right.
That probably came out of a bag. But I've had really good, like the Hormel bacon pieces that I buy at Legs. When I want a bacon omelet, the idea of cooking my own bacon and then breaking it up into bits and putting bacon bits, I don't like. They're too small.
Yeah.
But bacon pieces that you can get in.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's like
still a
commercial version of that. Exactly.
Yeah.
Where they're not.
So they're tender.
They're not super crunchy.
I don't like the super crunchy ones.
But they're also not super floppy. Like they're, the bacon hasn't been cooked enough.
Yeah.
I find the bagged bacon pieces are about the perfect thing. And that's what, this is probably whatever the Sysco commercial.
Got it.
Restaurant quality version.
All right.
That is.
All right.
It was just about perfect. And that's something I couldn't make because I do keep green onions around for my omelets. I keep bacon pieces around for my omelets.
Yeah.
I keep cream cheese around. A bagel for breakfast is not my usual go-to, but yeah, boy, it was so good.
I put a fried egg on that.
Oh my God.
That's what I would do. Cause you don't have the egg, if you don't have an egg bagel, like an everything bagel, I would do everything bagel with the fried egg on that, and then to do the bacon skin and cheese.
Sounds good. I haven't had breakfast this morning. It's almost noon. I haven't had breakfast that I am starving. Okay, so let's keep talking about
bacon.
About hair. There is no magic pill as of now for curing baldness. You don't just take a pill and, my hair's all growing back. It is one of our forms of testosterone is what leads to baldness, correct?
DHT. Yep.
Now, that's interesting because you and I have talked, we're both on testosterone replacement therapy and we've both been on it for a long time.
Huh?
And we both have, I don't have quite as much, my hairline's not quite as far down my forehead as it used to be.
Same thing with me.
My hair is thinning out at a pace that I'm very comfortable with that I don't even notice on a daily or weekly or monthly basis.
Yeah.
Why is it that you and I are supplementing our testosterone, but we don't have all of our hair falling out? Which some bodybuilders do report that they think that's one of the downsides. So, number one, we're not doing the volume of testosterone that they are.
You just answered your question.
We're not Arnold in Pumping Iron where he grabs a handful of Dianabol and just puts it in his mouth.
Right. Yeah. Look, man. That's
one. Yeah. We're on the therapy dose. We're not on the body dose.
Yeah. That's the difference. Really.
Yeah. And plus our genetics probably are not predisposed for.
Absolutely. Yes.
Baldness too.
That always comes into play with almost everything, but.
Yeah, I know when I was contemplating getting on TRT back in the day and I was doing my research into it, a lot of the feedback from guys on Reddit who had chosen not to do TRT were like, you're going to get bald and you're going to get prostate cancer. And those seem to be
all the urologists hanging out on that forum. Yeah.
The bro science reasons to not do. And so far, I have not had any problems with my PSA levels or
me either.
Or baldness.
Me either.
Yep. But so what is it about DHT that specifically makes it? It's not just having high testosterone in your system, right?
Yeah. So I guess it converts to DHT. So what happens is if you have too much testosterone, it converts to DHT. And that is what causes you to lose hair.
Okay.
The high DHT levels.
So I guess that could happen as a result of just your genetics, or if you're taking too much exogenous testosterone, that yep. level can go too high as well.
Yeah. Yep.
And I would imagine everybody's physiology is different, where there are some male bodies are able to take a higher level of testosterone.
Yeah.
And convert it to DHT, but not a high enough DHT level that it actually makes your hair fall out.
Yeah. All those things are specific.
And they're uncontrollable for the most part. Okay. Like we said, there is no magic pill. You can go to your dermatologist or your doctor to say, hey, I'm losing my hair and I'm not okay with it. What can I do? And hopefully they will explain to you what your options are and what the potential side effects are, because I hear a lot of stories about the side effects of medications that are made to prevent hair loss and what they do to your body.
Yeah. So, yeah, finasteride is one of them.
Yeah.
Right? So, basically, it actually destroys testosterone in your body. So, they give it to prostate cancer patients. My dad actually was put on a dose of that because they thought, traditionally, there was one study done with one patient, like, in the 1915 or the 40s or something.
Oh, wow.
It was years ago, and they saw that the testosterone was affiliated with prostate cancer. And since then, like, the medical community's just run with it for whatever reason. But that's not actually the case these days. So the problem, though, is the finasteride. You get rid of testosterone in your body, you are basically, you're becoming sterile, you're going to have sexual dysfunction. The testosterone is critical for a man. That is what they give women who want to become men. Is testosterone.
Not only that, they also give it to women in menopause who are suffering from a lower sex drive.
Yes.
It's testosterone that they give them to make them get their sex drive back.
That is the the largest amount of any hormone in a woman is testosterone.
Right.
It is a lot lower than a man.
Yes.
But
yes.
It is still more than estrogen and everything. It's still dominant hormone. And And so
people are surprised to learn that.
Yeah. I was absolutely. So Dr. Peter Attia interviewed a really great urologist. I just watched this video about finasteride, and what they're seeing is in his practice is that the people who go on finasteride.
And Propecia is the brand name of that, right?
Correct.
Like the most people probably.
And what they did was they said they looked at a bunch of studies and also in their practice. It didn't matter whether you took finasteride orally, injected, or put it on your head. The bottom line is it did affect your testosterone levels. And they're seeing a number of patients who have more than like a year or two, they're having side effects, sexual dysfunction side effects, erectile dysfunction, and things like that after stopping finasteride. So what they're looking at is possibly this could be altering your genes in some way. It could be turning on a gene or turning off
a gene,
whatever. That is then long-term effects. And it's enough people to where it's a concern. It's not everybody, but it is a concern. The other piece of that is, and I don't know the details, but they were saying finasteride doesn't affect just testosterone. It affects a whole bunch of other hormones, progesterone, other things like that in the body. And so it's doing all these other things as well. And there's no clear evidence that shows that that you need to destroy all the testosterone to get rid of prostate cancer.
Yeah, or destroy all the testosterone to keep your hair. But I would say, again, you could say, oh, this is easy for you guys to say you both have most of your hair still, which, okay, legitimate. But I would say a healthy man with a healthy endocrine system and a high level of testosterone will have a better life than a man who does not have those things, regardless of what's going on the top of his head.
Right. And here's the thing is, you touched on this, is owning it, right? So, you know, don't do the comb over.
Exactly.
Don't the Homer Simpson where you got three strands or whatever going. No. Shave it and you can make it look good. And some women even prefer it.
Oh, for sure.
And have fantasies and fetishes about bald guys and stuff. Hey.
Same as gray hairs, say whether that's on your hair or your face, no hair.
Yeah.
There's people out there. It's a big world with a lot of preferences, and being bald or being gray is not it's not the deal breaker that your own mind might want to turn it into.
Yeah, and that's the challenge, right? Is, but if you don't feel like you're attractive, bald head, then yes, you've got some work for yourself to do to get to that point, because you're going to push away anybody who might be into it. You're not going to find someone knocking at your door going, oh, I love your bald head, let me talk you into why you should
exactly
love yourself, right? That's not going to happen.
Yeah, there's no less attractive man than the man who thinks he's not attractive.
Ooh, quotable.
Okay, there are some potential remedies, whether that's homeopathic, over-the-counter, or medical, that are covered in this chapter. Honestly, I'm not going to spend the time to go into detail on them, because I do say that do all the things we've already talked about as far as taking care of your hair and your scalp. And if you have benefits to those things where it delays your going bald, then great. But again, just I would focus more on building a healthy, exciting life, and how much hair you have on the top of your head will turn out to be one of the least interesting or important things about you.
Yeah. Yeah. The last thing that I saw here in this chapter, which was interesting, is it looks like it's a platelet-rich plasma therapy, which basically they centrifuge down your blood to get these platelets, and they inject that into your head for hair growth. They've been doing that for joints and knees and things like that as well. It says it's the gold standard. I have not heard about it until reading it here.
Yeah, and I don't know anybody who's talked about using that and, I've had great results.
Yeah, I have not either. I had a friend who got a hair transplant. Basically, he got the back of his head here, and this was when his early 20s.
Yeah.
I felt so bad for him. And he had it basically implanted on the top of his head. And now, I mean, he's in his 40s. And that's going now too, you know?
Yeah, so far, the only
person... He had to get it done in Canada. It was a big deal. It's 20 years ago.
It seems to have taken for Elon Musk and Steve Carell. And those are the only two people I know of that got hair transplants. And I'm like, yeah, it still looks pretty good.
Yeah.
Even they're getting older. Steve Carell has some of the best hair of any mature man in Hollywood. He looks amazing. And I know he got it between like season one and season two of The Office.
So I guess maybe they're doing some follow-up therapy too.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, if you're Steve Carell, if you're a professional actor and you're getting jobs based on how you look, then maybe I could.
Money's not an object.
Yeah, and maybe it's worth it to you. But if you're just concerned about your social standing, and then I would say don't.
So you got money,
the risks are pretty.
Sure.
Joe Rogan got hair transplants and they did not work out for him. And I think he's still doing okay.
Yeah, it's all right.
So
it's all right.
He's doing all right. Yeah, I would say a lot of these things that could potentially help, like sleeping more, eating better, reducing your stress, exercising, those are good ideas no matter what problem you're trying to solve. And yeah, I would say, look, if you're obsessed about staving off male pattern baldness, then your obsession is going to be the thing that makes you unattractive, not the fact that you don't have hair on your head.
Now, did he talk about like wearing hats? Because I have heard, and I don't know if that's an urban myth or whatever, but like wearing a lot of hats quite often could contribute to losing hair.
I've heard that too.
And I wasn't sure how much validity.
I don't remember. I read this chapter originally a while ago. I don't remember if he addressed that or not. I could see how wearing tight hats could be harmful for your scalp. And obviously if something's bad for your scalp, it's going to be bad for your hair.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know if that is... if there's, you know, any kind of real data on that, or if it's just something we've been told. There is certainly, if you're a frequent hat wearer, especially as a man in your 30s, 40s, 50s, people will see you with the hat on and assume that you're bald.
Yeah.
And I just don't like the way hats feel as much as the way just having my hair out there feels. So unless it's really cold.
Yeah.
Or unless I'm growing my hair out. And
you're in the awkward stage.
I'm in the awkward stage where it has grown out and I just had to leave the house without time to style it. Then maybe I'll pop on my favorite ball cap, but that's very rare. For the most part, I don't like putting hats on.
Yeah. I think if there's something to that, like baseball players and would.
That's true.
They'd all be, that'd be like an epidemic of.
Maybe, but.
Snow.
But a ball player has what? 4 games a week and they last 2.5 hours.
Plus practice. Were they wearing a hat, probably?
They probably do wear the hats at practice, yeah. So
they're probably one of the biggest hat wearers.
Yeah, you're probably right.
So maybe there's not so much. I just remember hearing
it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, I don't know. All right, let's transition to the other hair that we're going to talk about, which is the hair down there. Manscaping is important for a few reasons. Number one, I find managing the level of growth down there feels more comfortable than letting it just go wild. It also, when you're sharing that part of yourself with someone else, looking like you put effort into it is also important. Like, I don't just let this go willy-nilly. I'd say the same thing is true for a beard.
Yeah.
Like, when you see a guy whose beard is just overgrown and not really under control, when I grow my beard a little longer, it's getting a little longer right now.
Yeah.
And I go to my barber and I get a beard trim and he says, okay, what would you like us to do with your beard? The answer I always give is make it look like I groom my beard. Like, I don't really care exactly what length you make it. I just want it to look like I have taken some effort to make it look like I've done something with it. Like, I care how it looks.
Yeah.
And the same would be true about what's going on down below.
Sure.
I think no matter what method you lean toward or you prefer, the biggest thing is make it look like you're putting some effort into maintaining.
Yep.
Okay. So let's talk about the few ways that you can manage your hair down there. Now, Dan, you're a bit more experimental with this than I am. You've tried out more of these methods than I have.
I have.
And so I'm looking forward to hearing your perspective on it. The first one we'll talk about is shaving. I am happy to share. I haven't had a blade down there since I lost my foreskin.
Oh, wow. All right.
When it comes to actually having an open blade in my genital area, yeah, I've never used...
Use electric?
I only use trimmers with a guard.
Gotcha.
I've never actually taken it down to the skin. And even when I use a trimmer with a guard, I don't go too low because I have very wiry, coarse hair all over my body.
Okay.
And so when I go too low with even the trimmers, like a one guard, then it's a little too pokey.
Yeah.
For the other person's
around your pokey
area that I could be in contact with. Because, that's a sensitive area. So having steel wool poking you in that area is not comfortable.
Yeah. So you have a little stencil, like a cappuccino. You make like a little heart something there.
Absolutely not. No. I generally go with a two or a three guard all over the whole area.
Okay.
And call it a day. And I usually will do that, I don't know, once every 10 days or so is about how frequently
okay.
I like to do that. But yeah, so that covers my preferred method is trimming. You have used a razor.
I always use
it. You always use a razor.
I've used a trimmer, uh-huh. I've ended up cutting myself or getting something caught a little bit. You know what, though? I was trying to get it really short with the trimmer, okay. And I wasn't using a guard. So.
Okay, gotcha. That makes sense. Yeah. Now, I've never, one of the main advertisers on podcasts that I listen to is the Manscaped company. Uh-huh. They have their lawnmower or whatever they call their groomer. I've never used one of those. And I think they sell those at Target now too.
Okay.
I've only used like Philips, Norelco, some of the main trimmer companies.
Yeah.
And again, as long as I'm using a guard, I've never had a problem with cutting myself. But apparently Manscaped or whatever the name of it is, they claim to be very good, even going very close without causing, like they say that whatever the method they use is, you will not cut yourself.
Yeah. I like wood floor, like a basketball court, like smooth. That's you know what I'm saying? Wild.
So yeah.
I keep down to the skin.
Yeah, how often do you have to do that?
I don't grow hair down there that fast. So every 4 or 5 days, I start to get a little stubble down there and it's not super coarse, and maybe that's because I used to get waxed down there as well, and that does thin out hair and make it a little bit softer as well.
So, yeah, some of those follicles that have been ripped out they're like, okay, I'm retiring, I'm not coming back.
Yeah, and what does come back is typically a little thinner, so it's not super coarse. But I don't recommend waxing, even though I did it for a couple of months. It is a little painful. It will cause a little bit of bleeding and stuff like that from time to time. And not all the waxers that I had put all the proper preparation on, like in terms of the powder, and the technique was a little bit off a little bit. Yeah, it's sure. Yeah, let's go.
Do you just use like your body wash to like lather up that area?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So you don't use like a shaving
cream? I don't use shaving cream either on my face.
Yeah, we talked about that. Yeah.
But in the shower, I just use soap. I have a moisturizing soap and I just soap that up. And usually
Yeah, no problems.
Now, are you using the same blade on your face as you are on your jaw?
I have a dedicated razor.
Different handle, different blade, different...
Yeah, but it's basically the same blade. Same kind of blade, okay. But it's a separate shaver that I just keep, a razor I keep in the shower.
And are they different handles, which is which? Or
I don't shave in the shower. I shave at my sink, and then, the pubes are in the shower.
Okay, so you shave your body in the shower, yes. But you shave your face at the sink. Correct. Okay, gotcha.
Yep.
I shave... almost exclusively in the shower. My trimmer I use before I go in the shower when I'm dealing with either my chest or my genitals. But my face, and again, since I'm growing the beard, I only really have to shave my neck and my cheeks. And I do that in the shower. I've got a shaving mirror mounted in my shower that is supposed to be fog free. Those never work though. You still always have to, I take it off the hook and I put some hot water on the back and the front, and then it stays fog-free for 2 minutes, and then I have to do it again.
Yeah, I've tried those fog-free mirrors.
Now, have you ever used one of them where it actually reroutes the water?
No.
Yeah, there's like ones that like it connects to the piping or the hose of your shower head, and it runs hot water right behind the surface of the mirror. And I've heard those are pretty good.
I can see that.
But that's a lot more work to install and use. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But okay, so you're using... like Gillette is?
Exactly.
Okay, so you're using that.
Mach 95.
Yeah, okay.
95 blades on it, whatever, yeah.
Okay.
But I get the lubricating strips on top and the bottom.
I know them well.
But it does such a good job on my face, and I feel actually the skin on my face is, with these cheeks anyway, a little bit thicker anyway than what I'm doing down there, and it handles that no problem, and down there...
And your face is being exposed to the elements on a regular basis, where your skin down there, not so much.
But it leaves this smooth, and down there, also smooth. I do use from European Wax, I got an exfoliating scrub that also helps slow down hair growth as well.
Oh,
so that's, who knows what kind of chemicals I'm putting on down there, you know what I'm saying? And I don't know if it really works, but the exfoliation does help with razor bumps and stuff out.
Is it chemical exfoliator, or are there little beads?
There's little beads in there.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. All right. Do you have to try to pull everything as tight as you can to get a good shave? Okay, yeah. I know with my face, if I'm taking the time to...
you got
to
get rid of those wrinkles,
pulling, I get a better shave than doing this.
Yeah. Definitely. Yep.
Wow. Hats off to you. I lack the courage to do what you do. Now, waxing wise, I will say the only areas I wax, and I don't have to do it very much, was the space between my eyebrows.
Okay.
I waxed that for years, and it definitely comes in way finer than, for the most part, I'll only get like one hair that I can see in the mirror and I'll just pull it out. But when I was like in high school and college, this area was almost as thick as the rest of my eyebrows.
Oh my God.
I think for years and years of using little wax strips, I think I have pretty much trained my hair.
Yeah.
Just don't bother growing.
That's great.
Yeah, that is great. And then I went to a professional waxing center once to do my back and shoulders.
Yeah.
And I got so many ingrown hairs after that. I cannot imagine ever letting somebody down in that area.
Yeah.
My back and shoulder, it was part of that, so irritating.
You got to exfoliate the dead skin cells. So that really helps with that. And so I'm sure I'm disciplined with that, because when I wasn't, and I got it, I did get a lot of ingrown hairs down there, that waxing, even with the exfoliation. So I'm wondering if it's just a certain generation of guys that are a little bit more concerned about this. So I was dating a girl years ago. Her dad pulled me aside for some strange conversation, and he and one of his buddies, and he pulls me aside, and he's telling me this story about one of his friends who went in for surgery. And before he went in, the surgeon told him he needed a shave down there. Mm-hmm. And
he was getting his tonsils out.
And
that nurse may have had some issues.
So he needed a shave down there for some procedure. And it was so weird, because he didn't just shave his penis, he shaved the whole thing and his balls. And he was like laughing and laughing. And I was like, why did you just, and this was, it wasn't like, this conversation came out of the blue. It wasn't like, and I was just like, what's going on? And I was thinking, it's possible that my girlfriend at the time may have said something to him that I shave everything down there. And he was looking for my reaction to his story. And I was just like, I just gave him a funny look and I walked away, because he thought it was hilarious that he shaved everything at the time. Everything. I bet you he didn't believe my girlfriend that I shaved everything. And so he was like, and maybe it was, her mom complaining about how hairy, the guy was Italian, maybe how hairy he was down there, suggested, oh, maybe you could trim that up. No guy trims up his hair. Oh, guess what?
Yeah.
Dan trims his hair. No, he doesn't. I'll find out.
Yeah.
I'll find out. I'm playing this whole story in my mind of what actually went down behind this.
That's very much what a guy would do, being like, not be willing to just say, hey, I hear you trim down there. I don't. What's that?
That's, my daughter was telling me about your penis area.
Right. Yeah.
That's for a dad. That's a tough conversation to have with a boyfriend, I think.
Probably is. Yeah.
So he did it his way.
That's funny.
I hope he got his, I hope he got the answer though.
Okay. Now how about laser hair removal? Have you messed with that at all?
I have for my arm, my armpits. I did it like a couple of weeks years ago and I went in, I didn't even do the full 6 or 8 treatments. I just did 4. It was not pleasant, but I hear it's not so bad now these days with the new lasers, but everything grows in a lot thinner under there for sure. From
okay.
I don't have no hair, but it doesn't grow longer. Doesn't, it's not thick. It's manageable. Yeah. So I'd recommend it. And I've heard also if you're going to do any type of hair removal down there, consider doing laser as well.
Have you?
I have. And compared to the waxing pain that you have.
But for you, you don't find the shaving is enough of a burden to,
no.
to go do the laser, to even try the laser thing?
No.
Okay. Yeah. No. I can see that. Yeah. And for me, trimming it is not. It's just so easy to just do it a couple minutes.
Yeah.
I don't feel any motivation to switch it up and try anything else. But yeah. Again, all different guys can have different interests. I would say the only thing that you may, that your partner may find unappealing is just an unmanaged, like an area where you just don't do anything.
It looks dirty or could trap some smells, things like that.
And that's what probably what it's for, right? Evolutionarily, it's probably there to trap smells. So when you think about it, like,
kind of, I never thought of
why else would it be there though?
Yeah, maybe it could be protection when you're rubbing against with sex, right?
Maybe. I don't know,
some sort of
anti-chafing.
Yeah,
maybe. I feel like odor retention is probably more likely though.
Yeah.
For smells and pheromones and
yeah.
stuff like that.
It could be more than one thing, right? Multi, right? The little pocket knife of body.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, I would say just letting it go completely unmanaged is probably the least recommended thing, I would say,
yeah.
of all these methods. And I mean, I think the lowest barrier entry is probably, and the least likely to go wrong is a trimmer with a guard on it.
This makes me think of, when did oral sex get invented? Because that would be more of an issue if your face is close to the smell part, right?
That's true, yeah.
Primitive times.
When did oral sex get invented?
Like,
probably the first time a person
like Adam and Eve right?
Like, that needs to go in my mouth.
Really? I don't, that's not, oh, that's like looking at a cow and going, oh, let me drink that from under their, from their teat kind of thing. Like, who, I feel like that doesn't just happen. That's not the first thing that comes to mind. I don't know, man. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe not.
Like, where did oral sex come from? I'm curious. What's the history of that? Was there a revolution? And like all of a sudden became, it was like the thing to do?
It was invented by a man named Stu Oral. And they named it after him. I don't know, but I.
German chocolate cake.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
I would say that happened pretty early on.
Yeah. I don't know.
I think oral sex and anal sex were probably pretty
anal,
pretty early innovation.
I could see anal because the hole is right there where the other one.
Wait a second. So chimps have oral sex, don't they?
I don't know.
I'll bet they do.
You're the one going to all these places with monkey business. I don't know.
You're going to masturbate.
Absolutely. That one we all know about.
They do that.
Yeah, yeah. But do they? Do other animals ever do oral sex?
Dolphins do.
They do?
Yes.
Okay.
I remember hearing that dolphins do. Hmm. That could have been a punchline to a joke, though. Let's check real quick. We'll do a quick Google search here. Animals, oral sex. I imagine AI will
make something up for us.
Exactly. They call it non-reproductive sexual behavior in animals. Lions. Again, this is
those teeths.
This is not. It's non-productive. We don't know for sure that it's actual.
Oh, actual oral sex.
Yeah,
gotcha.
I'm trying to see if it's specific to
sharks, barracuda, piranhas.
Yeah, the sharp tooth ones would probably have to be pretty careful.
Yeah, they're more into the masturbating, I think.
Okay, here we go. National Geographic has documented something. Bonobos, which are chimps that are closest to us, they do engage in oral sex.
Okay. All right.
But yeah, the fact that monkeys are doing it, apes. Yeah, I would imagine that we've been doing it pretty long.
I'm sure. Yeah. I was wondering, like, was that, it's probably before any type of written record, I'm sure.
Existed. Yeah, I'm sure before we were writing things down or drawing pictures, we were probably kissing body parts.
Wonder if there's any caveman drawings of that happening.
Yeah, first pornography.
Who knows?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's a good question. Yeah, that and that, I would say that a well-groomed area hair-wise is probably preferable for that kind of activity, even more than any of the other activities. Yeah, I've been known to send food back at a restaurant if there's a hair in it.
Not knowing whether this is from the top or the bottom.
I'm just saying, things you want to put in your mouth, generally.
Hair is not one
of the top requirements. Oh boy, I wish that had more air.
Agree.
Okay, good time. Definitely, this will be explicit. We'll notate it accordingly.
Yeah.
And maybe don't listen to this one with your kids. And if you're listening to the rest of them with your kids, you can probably stop doing that too.
Good advice.
All right. Thanks, Dan. I will talk to you soon. And our next episode that we record will be about spirituality and some real fun topics.
Yeah.
I started reading some of these yesterday and I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't think anything would make me want to go back to talking about masturbation. But some of these spirituality topics, I'm just like, oh man, this is going to be rough for me to not perpetually roll my eyes for.
All right. Well, good thing we're...
how I can make it through.
Let's document that.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, take it easy.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye. Wow, you made it through the whole thing, so you must like us at least a little bit, in which case you should definitely follow or subscribe to our show in your chosen podcast app. Thanks. We'll talk to you next time.